Blog Talk Radio.
From Dog Works Training Centers, professional canine training center in Denver, Colorado, this is the Dog Doctor. Committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogdoctorradio.com. The Dog Doctor is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now here is your host, Dr. Robert Forto, the Dog Doctor.
Hello and welcome, everybody. My name is Robert Forto, and you're listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show coming to you live at Denver Dog Works. Today is July 31st, 2010, and we're doing a best-of show. It is one of our more popular shows. It is an interview with the best-selling author, Monica Holloway, that wrote the book Cowboy and Wills. Michelle and Monica, take it away.
Hi, Monica. How are you today?
Hi, Michelle. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much. I'm sorry to hear about Baxter, of course, but thank you. I'm really honored to be a part of your program.
Well, I would like to thank you again for taking part in our program. I mean, we just did honestly meet via Facebook and your publicist and things just a short week ago. And, you know, it's really nice. You have good people helping you out. They got me the book. In a day and a half, I was astounded at how quickly I got the book.
I call them Team Monica because I'm so fortunate to have such a good team behind me, and I'm glad I knew that about them, but it's always nice to hear it. I'm really glad.
So you have been a writer for some time, or was this your first book?
No, this is my second full-length memoir. But I'm also in two anthologies. One is called The Mommy Wars, mm-hmm. and that was the first time I was published. And that was, let's see, I'm 42 then. So that was, The Mommy Wars was my first publication about sort of the conflict between stay-at-home moms and career moms.
Yes, I'm very familiar with The Mommy Wars. I was trying to get you to plug yourself a little bit. But, I was familiar with your writings when I read The Mommy Wars and got familiar with that because I am a mother of three teenage children.
Oh, boy.
And I was a business partner of Robert's as well as a paralegal full-time, so I fully understand Mommy Wars.
You got that. So, yeah, well, that was the first thing that I was published, so that was very exciting. And Leslie Morgensteiner was my editor from the Washington Post, and she's just an incredible person. So I was very fortunate to have Leslie put her faith in me for that very first time. And then I did my first memoir is called Driving with Dead People, and it sounds very scary, but it's fun, but I wouldn't say it's a light book. The title comes from I drove a hearse in high school for just a little bit. For extra money, but it explains itself, and that's not exactly what the whole title is about, but that's that I'm from a very small Midwestern town. So that was my first full-length memoir, and my next one, I was getting ready to do the sequel to Driving with Dead People when I was sitting at lunch with my editor and an amazing man I know who is my Barnes & Noble rep, Edward, who suggested, I talked about Cowboy and Wills. And I said, oh, my son had this amazing dog. I told the story. The sequel to Driving with Dead People was off. Cowboy and Wills was on. And we switched books at that lunch. And I started writing Cowboy and Wills the next day.
Right, and that's how it usually works, doesn't it? I mean, something gets you going, and you're like, okay, I'm done with that for a while.
Yes.
I'm on this. I'm so energetic. And, you know, did you find it easy to write? Was it therapeutic?
Well, I would have thought that this would be much easier to write. My first book sort of spans my entire childhood all the way up to about 32 years old, about 32 years old, which for me was, you know, difficult to go back, of course, for anybody to remember all those years. But I enjoyed writing that book, and it flowed pretty easily as I was writing. And it being my first book, I was lucky that it did. But then I thought, well, Cowboy and Wills, my two favorite subjects in the world, especially my darling Wills, and to know Cowboy, she's the best. And that it would come very quickly and easily to me. And you know what? It actually did not come that easily to me. And I think maybe it was because it was so close to me, to my heart, and also there wasn't a lot of time, you know, distance time-wise between when that happened and when I wrote the book. I mean, there was. Wills is about to be, he's 12 now, and he'll be 13 in May, and the book ends when he's 9.
Okay.
So not that big a gap of time, so I'm not sure exactly what that was about, but I felt good that I finally got to where I needed to be to write the book. But I was surprised that this was a little bit more difficult to write in terms of, I think also, too, because I wanted Wills to be exactly as he is. I wanted Cowboy to be uniquely herself. And I was very concerned about that. And I think it paid off in the end, that I took the time and I really focused on their relationship like I did. Interestingly enough, it was a harder book to write and a very, very fulfilling book to write.
Well, I think that you captured the essence of both of them individually quite well, and, you know, you meshed their relationship and captured exactly what it was. I mean, all of us that own dogs, especially dog trainers, and that we have children, we see this relationship with our children and their dogs every day.
Sure.
My daughter is about the same age as your son. She turned 12 in July, and she'll be 13 next year. And she's had upwards of probably close to 50 dogs in her lifetime because of the fact that her father is a dog sledder.
Sure.
And when she was about 3 years old, I had a litter of Siberian Husky puppies, and I told her, don't go in the pen with the mama when she's feeding the babies. Well, sure enough, every morning I would find her in that pen with those babies. And these are, you know, two-week-old babies.
Sure.
And the mom, and I, you know, your greatest fear is that the mom's going to be overprotective and bite your child.
Of course.
This mom invited her in, would literally take her by the, you know, button on her overalls and pull her in there. And, you know, Nicole helped her with her six puppies, feeding them and caring for them.
No.
And, oh, it was beautiful, you know.
I bet.
And I had only wished that I'd had a video camera at that time. We only had still photos of it, but, you know, it's beautiful to see a little brown-haired girl with big blue eyes look up at you with a blonde-headed dog and blue eyes and all these white babies with blue eyes, all these blue eyes looking up at you going, yep, this is how it's supposed to be. Leave us alone. So I had
That's
to learn.
That's a perfect day, a
yes.
perfect moment.
Yes, I had to learn how to step away from that and let her be a kid with these puppies. And, you know, she is a dog trainer in the making, even though she wants to be a veterinarian. And she could train right alongside of me and sometimes takes over the class, especially when there's children involved. And, you know, it's always wonderful for me to read these stories about kids and their dogs. And I hand over the books to her, you know, even though some people go, oh, she's too young to read that type of a book. I don't care. She needs the experience. I mean, she took the experience away from me when she was little anyhow. So you might as well let her read.
She sounds pretty smart.
Yeah, she is pretty smart. So I'm going to ask you one of the questions that you were so gracious to share with me to help me out with my time factors. Why were you guys choosing a golden retriever of all dogs for your beautiful son, Wills?
Yes, you know, I mean, if this is not in the book, and this is not the reason why, but somewhere in the back of my head, I've wondered since I've been on my book tour now about 3 weeks. It came out October 6th. And after talking to everybody, I've come up with a kind of hilarious thing, which was sort of like, the golden retrievers kind of looked like Wills. I mean, he has big blue eyes, and there are pictures all through the book so you can see him. But he's a towhead blonde. His hair's darker now, but he was very blonde. He had this round face with these beautiful eyes. And somebody asked me, they said, well, he's sort of golden retriever-ish. And I had to laugh because I never once ever thought about that. But maybe on some unconscious level, I was like, I went for a blonde. I went for, you know, a little round-faced blonde. I don't know. That's silly. But it's very, but maybe not. I don't know. The main reason was I did a lot of research about the different breeds of animals. And I was very, very particular that I get a dog that had been proven a sure thing in terms of children. Because Wills was very young, even though he was six. He was about 2 years behind socially at that time, and he, you know, where he was on the spectrum as opposed to where he is now, which now he was just diagnosed with Asperger's this last year, so he's very high-functioning, and he was high-functioning then, but still struggling, and I wanted to make sure that I had a dog for him that that wouldn't bite him, that wouldn't be easily surprised, that liked to snuggle. I was very much hoping for a dog that I wasn't looking, for instance, for a protector dog, which is a whole other thing.
Exactly.
Which I also was drawn to because I thought, oh, my gosh, he needs the protector. Well, that's me. I guess I would be the protector dog. I wanted a big old lump of fur just loving on him, and it seemed to me that he was very lonely at the time because he was in there, but aside from his relationship with me, and he loves his dad, and they have a wonderful relationship for years they have had, but at that time when he was very young, he was just incredibly attached to me. We were trying to think of something, a way to move him a little bit away from me and further into the world. And so we kind of stumbled on the dog idea, and then when Cowboy arrived, what ended up happening was miraculous to me. And this was 1998. Going into 99, and there was plenty of literature out there on companion dogs, I suppose, but I did not read that in terms of autistic children. So now it's very well documented, and, you know, Temple Grandin was writing about dogs then. So I had read her book, Thinking in Pictures, where she talks about that dogs are literally a bridge between, you know, other humans. And I thought, well, this is, and she has Asperger's. And so that's why we got Cowboy, and then I guess I'm not really answering your question about the Golden Retriever. It just seemed like the right breed. I wanted a bigger dog, too, so that when he laid on her, that he wouldn't squash her. So I was thinking a small dog would be fun because you could carry her around. And so.
Right. Well, I mean, you answered the question just fine.
Okay.
I mean, we train dogs for autistic children part of our service work that I do. And I just placed a German Shepherd with a 5-year-old autistic boy, and he's high functioning. And we chose her not because she's a big protector German Shepherd, you know, beware, be afraid. We chose her because she is actually the opposite of what the breed denotes. She is very much drawn to children. We'll go gather up kids and put them all in a circle and sit in the middle and let them all love on her. So Berlin is her name. Berlin is very unique to the breed, and she is going to do a fine job for this little boy. And I think that, you know, people choose dogs for different reasons. You obviously did research, but I know that you went to a pet store and picked out Cowboy.
Yeah.
How did that go? Do you guys feel like Cowboy chose you, or was it very much a decision by Will?
In terms of which puppy we took?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, this, I'll try to make it briefer than it was, but what happened was we had mainstreamed Will into a kindergarten, and he did have an aide with him. But he was having a really hard time adjusting. And so this would be late October. when he came, he was in the car with me. He was so sad. He was, you know, rocking at school back and forth. He wasn't able to engage with other children yet. Now, all of this did come, but not till later. And it actually, once we made the decision and told Wills we're going to get a dog, it, some of his defenses, and some of it was that he had been in school then for a number of days, and that was part of it. Part of it was, I feel, that he knew this little soul was coming. I mean, that's what I feel, because Cowboy had been born. So what happened was, in the car, we had sort of discussed getting a dog a couple of times, but it wasn't super serious. I'm getting a dog just for Wills. And then Wills got so upset at school, and he got in the car, and I just felt like I could not say anything or come up with anything to comfort this child who had been through so much. And just out of my mouth came, without even asking my husband, Michael, was, I think we should get a puppy. I just said it, and he said, now? Like, as in this afternoon, because he thinks very concretely. And I said, well, and the, you know, it was almost Halloween, and the next thing would have been Christmas, and I said, Christmas time. And then I was kind of stuck. I stuck myself with, I have to get it by Christmas.
Right.
Now, whether Wills was stuck with that, I mean, he probably could have adjusted to it coming later, but I wasn't going to let that happen. He was getting a puppy for Christmas as soon as I said it. But what I didn't know was that it takes a long time to get a puppy, and you have to, you know, find a reputable breeder, and you can't just go in and get a puppy from a breeder and leave. It takes time. And like you say, the puppy does have to sort of choose you, and you have to choose the puppy. And since then, that's what we've done. We have Buddy, who comes in at the end of the book, who's three. Her birthday was day before yesterday, the 21st. She turned three, the big dog party. And then we have a new 14-week-old Leo Henry Golden Retriever also, who just came. But with those two dogs, we have an amazingly reputable breeder, and we spent 8 weeks with Buddy after she was born. I guess she was 3 weeks old when we first saw her. Of course, we didn't touch her, but we got to go and see her and the whole litter. And it was a long process with all these families. There were eight of us and eight puppies. Who's going to get which puppy? But with Cowboy, I was too late. And so when I started to call the breeders and try to find a golden retriever by Christmas, they literally laughed at me. They're like, every dog is spoken for. Everyone gets golden retrievers for Christmas, kind of thing. And I don't know if it was that dramatic, but that's how I remember it. I just know I could not find a puppy. So I went to this pet store up on in Bel Air thinking that, well, you know what? I knew that stars went there and, you know, millionaires went there. And I thought, well, little old me and my, you know, Sears, whatever I had on at the time, I thought, you know, if they can buy their puppies there, I'm sure they wouldn't sell a puppy mill puppy to a millionaire. Well, that is the silliest thing in the world. You know, I just made a huge, huge mistake. And every website was saying to me, don't buy your dog from a puppy store. I don't know who I'm offending right now, but I must say it was a huge mistake.
You're not offending any of us sitting here at the table because
Robert and I, we
try to educate people all the time. Now, we have nothing against puppy stores.
Right.
What we have is a big problem with irresponsible breeders.
That's right. So
you are not offending us or what we try to educate people about. That's why I was kind of interested to find out, you know, Cowboy was an extraordinary little girl.
Absolutely. And well, the thing, right, when I saw her, they said right away, we can find you this puppy, a golden retriever puppy by Christmas. And as soon as they said that, I was so overwhelmed and overjoyed by the fact that I was going to fulfill the promise I'd given to my son, and I put down my deposit.
Right. And you wouldn't be a bad mom. The whole thing goes through your head. Exactly.
Yep. But when I saw her, she did not look well. The first time I saw her, and they had called me to say she's here. She came from a breeder in Missouri, so they had gone. We had paid to have her driven across because I didn't want her flying. And she just didn't look well. She had a rash on her tummy. She had a cough. And I said, this puppy is not well. And she said, that's right. She has some kind of kennel cough or something like this. And she said, we'll make sure that she's well before you take her home, which was going to be in 2 days. So I kept visiting
her. Really? They can cure Bordetella and whatever else was ailing this poor little girl in 2 days.
Well, they didn't, of course.
Of
they
course.
Would have been able to, just like you just said. But here's the thing. I would not have left that puppy for anything. And when you talk about who chose who, I tell him this whole long story, but that she got to us from Missouri and that I went the wrong path and I went to the wrong pet store. And but when I saw her, I knew. I did not know what was going to happen with Wills and how miraculous she was going to actually end up being. But there was no way, even if she had been sicker than she was, and she was sick enough, that I would have ever given up on this puppy.
Right.
I never would have. I wouldn't have given up on any puppy because I would have been afraid what would happen if I'd left her there, you know?
I know. My mom has the same problem. I mean, she's got a daughter that's a trainer and a son-in-law that's an animal behaviorist, and she's got 2 dogs from a pet store because, in her logic, I saved them.
You know what? Probably so.
Yeah.
I mean, not probably so. I would say she did.
Exactly, and that's what I'm hearing from you, too, is you saved her, and you know what? I applaud you for that. Now, you did or did not train Cowboy as a companion dog?
No, I didn't. And, in fact, I hadn't I did think about how to get training as a companion dog. The school was very open to Cowboy coming to school with Wills. And of course, when she was very little, it worked out great. So all the kids knew her and the teachers knew her, and they were all wonderful. And when the dog was with Wills, he was so much better almost immediately. And I thought, how am I going to get this puppy trained? This is hilarious because I don't even know what year this was on. Do you remember the Jane Pauley show was on for like about 2 minutes? It was a show called the Jane Pauley Show.
Robert's nodding his head. I didn't have time to watch TV. I had 3 teenage kids, you know.
Well, no, I didn't either. But somehow I had recorded that Jane Pauley show. And I thought, like, I would do Jane Pauley and maybe The View in case I'm bored at night. But anyway, I was
for a laugh or two, right?
Exactly. And I think I maybe only saw that show once or twice. There was a woman on there, Patty Gross, who did training companion dogs for autistic children. So I got in touch with Patty, and she said, when I'm in L.A., let's bring Cowboy and Wills and go to the park and see what we can do. And by the time Patty got here, we knew Cowboy was pretty sick.
My husband is flashing me a note. On your comment, is that 1998? Do you think
the Jane Pauley show?
Where you spoke with Patty?
I think it was later than that. Well, we had Cowboys, so yeah, it was definitely later than that. It had to have been. I'm gonna look here. It had to have been 2003 or later. I'm just gonna look.
I think he's familiar with Patty, is why he's asking.
She's North Star.
Okay.
Does that sound familiar?
It does. Autistic training for dogs is fairly new. I mean, it's barely a decade old here. So I know there's more about it on the West Coast and on the very East Coast, but not a lot going on for our autistic dog training here in the central United States. So here in Colorado, I think it's us and one other company that trains for autism. Otherwise, we're going to Oregon, we're going to Northern California.
Exactly. Well, Patty's in Connecticut.
Right, and
so
you're going
thinking,
to Connecticut.
How am I going to get from L.A. to Connecticut with an autistic child and a dog?
With a lot of coffee, honey.
With a lot of coffee. A lot of coffee, that's right.
Maybe some Irish cream for flavor, but, you know, it's a lot of coffee.
Well, I just looked up, it was 2004. It was August of 2004.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, well, you know, she's a beautiful person. So you did not train Cowboy to be a companion dog.
Cowboy was just getting sick, and I said we thought, well, we'll wait and see what happens with her health because she had been put on steroids. So Patty was a little bit like, you know, let's wait until things kind of settle down for her and see what we can do. And she introduced me to a trainer out here, but then Cowboy did get quite sick, and we did not end up doing a companion dog. And then when we got Buddy, our whole goal was to get a companion dog, and Wills didn't need a companion dog anymore.
Right.
So we went to a breeder that we had was well researched, and interestingly enough, Buddy who Wills gets after Cowboy's death at the end of the book. I mean, I hope I don't blow it, but Cowboy only lived 2.5 years.
Right.
But what a 2.5 years that was. Amazing.
And that is why the book is only 2.5 years in length. Is that correct?
It is. I go a little bit into the early, just so that they'll, you know, there's floor underneath the reader in terms of how we got his diagnosis and so forth.
Oh,
but,
okay,
yeah, mostly
Monica,
it is about Cowboy and Wills.
Mm-hmm. I got to cut you off. We're going to go to a brief commercial, and then we'll be
okay.
Right back, and we're going to pick it up with How Wills Named Cowboy.
Isn't it finally time to get your dog under control? Aggression and behavior problems need to be handled the right way. At Denver Dog Works Professional Canine Behavior Center, we have knowledgeable, skilled, and friendly instructors. We're convenient. Our training classes are available Monday through Friday evenings and Saturday afternoons. Private lessons can be scheduled to fit your timetable. We know our stuff. Our instructors are all extremely knowledgeable in the science of behavior and learning theory. In fact, we're the only training center in the area that has a PhD on staff and require all of our instructors to be certified. At Denver Dog Works, our training classes give you great results using the easiest, most up-to-date methods. We have comprehensive training programs in a variety of disciplines to allow your dog to reach its fullest potential and develop a healthy family relationship. At Denver Dog Works, we have the best and train the rest. Call Denver Dog Works 303-752-2818 or log on at denverdogworks.com.
Hello, and we are back. You're listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show. This is Robert, and I'm here today with Michelle, and we are interviewing the author of a brand new book, Cowboy and Wills, Monica Holloway. If you're interested in the book and you're listening to our show on blogtalkradio.com/dogdoctor, just click on that book cover on the bottom of the screen there, and it will take you to Amazon, and you can purchase this book right from our site. We are interviewing Monica about a story she wrote about an autistic service dog and her little boy, Wills. And we're going to jump right back into it. Michelle is interviewing Monica. Go ahead.
Monica, thank you for coming back with us.
Sure.
So Cowboy is a very interesting name. Cowboy Carol Lawrence, if I should be so specific. I'd like to know how she got her name and how Cowboy changed Wills' life. Or, you know, what was so special about her? You know, just the stuff that makes Cowboy Cowboy.
Okay. Well, Will, you know, part of his autism and part of his just being an extraordinary person in general is that he's very precise. And as soon as we talked about the puppy and I started looking for the puppy, we started looking. Well, we got books. We went to Barnes & Noble. We went to the local. It used to be Denton's and Brentwood, all the independent bookstores, and we had stacks of books. And we started thinking of names. And I would write them on index cards, and we'd paste them on the back of the bedroom door. So that the whole back of the bedroom door was covered with names of dogs. And then we would change the order of which one we liked the best. But Cowboy wasn't on the list at all. And one afternoon, and we were only about 3.5 weeks out from getting Cowboy, we're getting close. And he and I were making cupcakes, and I said, hey, how about Ringo? That's a good name for a dog. And he goes, Ringo? And then he just said, you know, Cowboy. And I said, but it's going to be a girl. Because we knew who she was. We'd seen her picture. We knew it was a girl. And he said, I don't care. I think it's Cowboy. And I loved it. I loved it. It's kind of like a boy named Sue kind of thing, you know? And I said, if you think Cowboy's it, Cowboy's it. And he wanted me to write it on a big piece of paper in big, bold Sharpie so that when his dad came in the back gate, it would say, Cowboy, and then he would know the name of the dog. So that's how he named her. The day we were going to get her was, I do believe it was December 21st, because... Yeah, right.
The book says he has to do his thing.
Right, he's going to his Christmas thing. I was just thinking
right.
It's so close to a buddy's birthday, only October 21st. Anyway, we're going to get her. He comes out, and my husband's playing Christmas carols. And he plays Christmas carols from, like, December 1, basically, all the way through New Year's Day night. He's very festive. And so Will said, her middle name will be Carol, because Christmas carols are playing the day we're getting her. So it was Cowboy Carol. And I was a little bit relieved because I thought when people ask, they'll know that she's a girl. Not that that should matter, and it doesn't matter to me at all now, but at the time, I said, okay, Carol, that's a female name to add to it. So it was Cowboy Carol for about 2 months. And then we were standing in line over at Long's Drugs, and we were in the pharmacy section. And Wilson's used to be very quiet, very frightened in public places. And they keep saying all over the loudspeaker, will Mr. Lawrence please come to the pharmacy window? But he didn't come, and he didn't come, and Will said, they're going to give Mr. Lawrence this thing away. And I said, they're not going to give up on Mr. Lawrence, Will. He's here. He'll come. They're not going to give up on him, I kept saying. So finally this gentleman came up, an older gentleman. I said, a la Paul Newman. And I mean, he was very distinguished. And Will yelled at the top of his lungs, this child who never says anything in a crowd, Lawrence is here! And then he tagged that right on to the end of the name. So it came Cowboy Carol Lawrence. So everybody thinks it's Carol Lawrence, the actress, but it has nothing to do with that at all.
Well, that's a beautiful way of getting a name for a dog. And, you know, Robert and I are always looking for unique dog names. And I have to give Will's props. He is probably one of the most unique dog names we've ever encountered. And, you know, if he gives me permission, I'm going to add it to our list of unique dog names, and she's going to be right there at the top.
Oh, he'd be so honored. I could give you that permission right now because he's proud of her, and he's very proud of her name.
You know, I think it's a beautiful, beautiful name. And, you know, before I forget, I know we've got some fans that are listening to us that don't realize how great we are. And I just want to give out a shout to all of Santa's helpers, writers, including your wonderful husband, Michael. And, you know, that's just my little shout-out. If anybody is familiar with Santa's helpers, they'll know exactly who I'm talking about.
So
I'm just going to keep it at that. Thank you, Mr. Crowley.
You just gave me props, so now I'm going to be an extra special wife with that shout-out.
That's great. What made Cowboy change Will's life?
You know what? She knew when to come in and when to back off. And I think with Will, that was really important, that she would sit and wait for him for a certain amount of time. And he would look at her. And I say in the book, and it's true, like he would take his index finger and rub between her eyes, like right on her forehead, because he wasn't sure how to pet her or cuddle her. And then all of a sudden, she would just jump into his arms. And then he would have his arms out to the sides because he wasn't sure. And I said, you can hug her, you know. But then it would be tentative, little pat here or there. And then Cowboy would back off and sit back down again. And this is a dog that is definitely not trained. She really sensed, I believe, early on, because I believe in animals. You know I'm an animal fanatic, especially dogs. But they know us. They understand how we're feeling at some incredibly deep level. And I think that she sensed right away how scared he was in the world. And that's something she knew about. She wasn't scared in the world, but she knew how to comfort. And that's what she did. And then she would catch him off guard because she also, he was also very pristine. He didn't want clay on his hands or mud. I mean, I had so many friends with kids that were just, which was fine. I love it. I'm a mess myself. But covered in paint, covered in mud, well, he would paint, but it would always be very neat. If anything got on his hands, I had to wash it right off. But Cowboy would come running in and just knock him flat in the mud. And I would always be waiting for the, oh, no, or the screaming, and he would start laughing, but only with Cowboy.
So she taught him how to be a little boy.
How to be a boy. And that's a wonderful way to put it, Miss Sally. You know what? That's a wonderful. I wish I'd written that.
Well, you know, you can take it for you can take it for part two.
Thank you. I will. That's a perfect line because it's exactly right, too, because he ended up sleeping in his own bed because she made him scoot over. He would always want to sleep in our bed, so I started to try to put him in his bed and maybe bring her in, and then she was like, scoot over. And he was able, for the first time in his life, now we're talking about a 6.5-year-old, almost 7-year-old child for the first time sleeping in their own bed. He also, he was in the bathtub one day. He hated taking baths and showers, a lot of kids do. But for Will, he had a sensory integration issue where, like, bubbles and sometimes even if the water was even a little bit too warm, it actually kind of hurt his skin, or he would say, it gives me goosebumps. So he hated the bath, and he was crying, and the bathroom door went flinging open, and I say in the book it was like Clint Eastwood in High Plains Drifter. You know, he was standing, cowboy standing there. I'm like, don't you do it, cowboy. And she leapt into that tub, and I thought it would be the end of the world for Will. Before it was all over, he thought it was hilarious. He asked me to get Mr. Bubbles. Did I have any bubbles, he asked. Bubbles that hurt his skin. And I thought, bubbles? I asked him again. He goes, bubbles for cowboy. So I looked underneath the bathroom sink and just prayed that a Mr. Bubbles I'd bought, I don't know how many months earlier, hoping that, you know, someday he'd want to have bubbles. I found it. I gave it to him. And there he was in the bath. He was much dirtier than he was before he went in. He was much hairier than he was before he went in. But he let me wash his hair. There were no more tears. She just led him into life.
So how many baths did Cowboy and Wills end up taking together?
How many baths?
How many baths did they end up taking together?
Oh, my. Oh, goodness. Well, you think, you know, 4 baths a week?
At least.
At least. Well, for Will, probably more.
Yeah.
But I could. And, yeah, so that times 2.5 years, that's how many baths they took together. Because even when he was sort of like, okay, Cowboy needs to get out now, she did not want to go anywhere. She even sat in there, and she would hang a paw over and just leave it in there.
That's not typical of most dogs. You know that, right?
She's amazing. I do know that.
I have a bit of a – my husband's showing me the picture in the book. I did see that because I read the book. I have a parallel to the little boy that I am working with right now. His name is Diego. And Diego, he's high-functioning, but he's combative.
Okay, right, yes.
He is just turned 5 years old, and he did not sleep in his bed either until we introduced Berlin into his life about a year ago. Berlin came into his life and was a little hectic for his dad. So I took Berlin back for a period of about 6 months, and I trained her up, and she had a fear of men, and Diego's father has a very deep voice. And she was very fearful of him. And so for 6 months, I worked with her. And then for the last month, I worked with her and Diego's father. And Diego, the father, and Berlin are now the best of pals.
Oh.
But Berlin got Diego to sleep in his room, albeit the parents were not too thrilled about her sleeping on his bed. You know, German Shepherd's a little big.
Yes.
But she didn't like sleeping on the bed either. She was crate trained. This is a 5-year-old dog. This is not a puppy that he got. He got an older dog that had litters of her own. And the reason why we chose an older dog that had been a mother was because we needed a dog that would mother but not discourage him from being a little kid.
Right.
And at the same time could put up with him having some very bad outbursts and tantrums and kicking and screaming and hitting and things, and I needed a dog that if she got in the way and got hit, it would not ever be a problem.
Oh, absolutely.
And she knows that whenever there was a situation like that, she would just simply go over to her bed by the fireplace, and that everybody knew in the house was Berlin put herself in a timeout, and we're not to bother Berlin when she was in her timeout. But I want to just say that I really find it interesting how every person that I've spoken with has had the same correlation with the sleeping in mommy and daddy's bed forever, and then you get a dog, and then the dog and the child learn to sleep together. And you know what? I don't think it has anything to do with autism or Asperger's.
I totally agree.
Because our daughter, even though Robert hates it when I tell people this, but our daughter, our daughter, thankfully, is perfectly healthy. Sometimes she's a little more healthy than you like because she's got some kind of a mouth on her. But she slept with us until she was about 4.5 years old.
Uh-huh.
And she would start off in her own room. It's just where she felt more comfortable. Of course, the dogs were usually with us, so that's where she wanted to be. And that's what we figured out. Just let her have a dog in her room, and she'd be fine. And she was. But, you know, I think it's just a kid thing.
I think it is. I mean, if I think back on my childhood, too, I mean, I had a wonderful dog growing up, but she was not allowed, you know, on the bed either. And I think it would have, you know, and actually I was a bedwetter, so it wouldn't be good for her to be on the bed. I was little, poor dog. But maybe I wouldn't have been a bedwetter if I'd had a dog in the bed with me. I don't know what that was all about exactly, and I do and I don't. But I completely agree. I mean, Will's had night terrors where he would wake up screaming.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he was in our bed, he would do that. But once Cowboy was in with him and he was in his room, the nightmares, he really didn't have night terrors anymore. He wasn't afraid of what was under the bed. And, you know, we've been looking through tons of the pictures both for my website, and we've done a number of different interviews and things where we've sent other pictures out that aren't necessarily in the book. And the majority of them, and I have to laugh, most of the pictures of Cowboy and Wills, they're not active. They're sound asleep, and Cowboy's paws are around Wills's neck, both paws, one around the back, one on his chest, and then her back paw over his leg. And I think when they were moving, I was moving, so I wasn't taking as many pictures of them in action. But they slept very intimately and very soundly. That may be the first time in, I don't know this, but it might be the first time in his life that he slept that soundly.
Yeah, and that's a wonderful thing when they sleep soundly like that.
Oh.
We've got just a few minutes left, about 10, and out of the few questions that you and I shared together that are left, I want to ask, how does Will feel about Cowboy now that he's older?
Yeah.
And you know, I know that Buddy has a special place in his life, and I know Leo Henry does as well, but I know that your first dog is usually the one that you hold onto the longest.
Yes.
For memories. For Robert and I, we adopted a dog, rescued a dog from a rescue in Washington State when we first met, and he is truly what holds us together. So, you know, we both had dogs growing up, but Aneke, our rescued friend, is very special to our marriage and our relationship. So I just would like to know how Will feels about Cowboy now and what he thinks about what she was able to bring to his life. I mean, if he's even shared that with you.
Right. Well, he, it's been really interesting with the book because one thing, well, I say in the book that she was his first love and his first love lost. And I know that that's true, but I think the depth of the loss and the height of the miracles that she's still giving him, there'll never be another Cowboy. I mean, there just never could be. And I say that about Buddy at the end of the book, that Buddy, she's not the original. She's unique in her own way, and she's an amazing dog. I mean, they're all amazing dogs in their own way. But, you know, Cowboy is unique, just like Buddy's unique, like Leo Henry's unique. But I think because Cowboy was there in those years when he was so frightened of the world, and with Cowboy, he stepped out into the world, and he felt the change. He knew that when she was with him, he could eat at a restaurant outside, but he could probably get through at least a piece of a meal. Without the dogs, I couldn't get him into the restaurant at all. I think that Cowboy is the great healer, and we all know that in our house. And it's not that Buddy's not a great healer. She is. But Wills is very, you know, he doesn't need a great healer now. Now he needs a companion and somebody to run with and play with, and they're inseparable, and they sleep together too. But what has been interesting to me about the book was, because Wills is not ashamed of his autism, and we've had a lot of talks with his therapist and with him, I mean, all of us together, about this book and how this might seem or feel to him and how, and, you know, it ultimately ended up being my choice, mine and my husband's choice, too, that I would go ahead and write the book, because you can't say to a 12-year-old, can I write your life? They're awfully young, but you can say, what do you think, you know? And what people think he would be worried about in the book. From my discussions and from my signings, my book readings and signings have been, is Will's worried about everyone knowing that he's autistic? And I said, there's no shame in being autistic, and he doesn't have any shame about that. He has a lot of sadness around Cowboy's Law. So when he saw the book cover the first time, he burst into tears over Cowboy. And he just said, I miss her, and I don't want to talk about the book right now. So he had to take some time, you know, to pull himself, not to pull himself together, really to let himself go and to really cry about Cowboy again. So we sat together, and he had a lot of tears. And I had gotten him a little Sterling Cowboy hat on the end of a necklace, the dog tag type necklaces, you know, that are like for boys anyway. And I was going to give that to him, and I could tell that he was just too sad still about her. And I think I realized there was still a lot to process about Cowboy. And so then what started to happen with the book being out is that he wanted to bring his other dogs to my readings and introduce his other dogs. And then he wanted to talk about Cowboy at the readings. So it just seems like there's been yet another wave of healing for him. But that, and I told him this, I said, you know, you'll never not miss Cowboy. She'll always be part of you. But that's what she's left you too, the legacy that she's left you, is that look at you with Buddy and Leo Henry. At my book launch party, which was the 17th of October, so a week ago Saturday, I guess, it was a nice big party and wonderful people were there, very busy. We had this big presentation we did, and it was really fun. And at the end, they showed a bunch of pictures and home movies. And I'd seen it, and he had seen it, because I wanted to make sure there were no surprises. And he was great at the party. He was great with the noise and all the people that were there and the loudspeakers and everything that we were talking into. He wasn't ready for that video to be shown. And when that video was done, he came running to me. Now, this is a kid now that's 5'4", and a big guy, because his dad's 6'5", and I'm 5'9". So his tall kid, you know, tears streaming down his face, I miss Cowboy. I miss her so much. And so we sat in the middle of all these people down in the corner, and sat literally practically on my lap in tears about Cowboy again.
But, so Monica, that's okay.
Yeah, I think so. I'm glad he's getting it out. And
it's okay.
He's helping people. That's
right.
What he said.
And a lot of people can't handle it as well as he has. I applaud him.
Oh, he says, I mean, yes, absolutely. And to let his feelings out and to say exactly how he feels, absolutely.
Yes, we need more people that can be as honest with the situation in front of other people. Wills has experienced more love and loss than my husband has. Robert has never lost his greatest love, which is a dog. He's never experienced death. And, you know, I applaud Wills. His story is going to help my husband when we do lose our 12-year-old dog.
Oh.
And I want to say thank you for writing this lovely book and sharing his story. I want to thank him and your husband. Your guys' strength and light is inspiring for everyone. And I don't know if my husband has anything to add, but I'm going to let him if he'd like to.
Oh, Michelle, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Monica, this is Robert.
Hi, Robert.
Hi. I let Michelle handle this interview because I know she was talking to you back and forth, and
sure.
I will have to admit I only got about 100 pages into your book, and I don't like to not give people the credit that is due when I interview them if I haven't fully researched what I'm talking about. So I'm glad that you're on our show today, and an awesome story that you shared, and it's so refreshing to find people that are not afraid to, you know, to talk about what really matters, and I think that's what you did. It's a great thing that people can be able to do that. I will be the first to admit that I'm in the middle of my first book project, and there are many a days I sit there at the computer drawing a blank. So I know how hard it is to really get out there and pursue something like this. And I have
sure, but we need your book, Robert, so sit down there.
I'm trying.
My teacher always tells me, put your, it's just one thing, it's butt in seat.
That's right.
It sounds so simple, but if your hind end is in the seat, something might come.
That's right. That's right.
Nothing's going to come.
But
we need
that.
Your book.
But it
we
has to be.
Do.
It has to be in the right seat. It can't be behind the wheel of his truck.
Yeah, let me clarify. That's hilarious.
Yes, yes. Well, Monica, thank you very much. We're about out of time.
Okay.
Like I said.
You guys are wonderful. Thank you for all the work you do. And I loved your website. And I hope someday that we can meet in person. That would be a joy to me.
That would be
and,
great.
And we'll all be listening to your show from now on.
Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you very much.
I'm here in Old California.
We'll talk to you soon, Monica.
Okay.
Take care and give Wills a hug for us.
I sure will. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.